You're here because you want more. More engagement. More delight. More fun. More learning. You're hungry for change and willing to take action.
If you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original.
Welcome to the e-learning scenario design podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
Let's take learning to the next level.
Hello, everybody. Anna Sabramowitz here. Hope you're having a fabulous day. Listen, guys, let's talk about performance. Let's talk about how do you measure performance. Let's talk about how can you evaluate whether your interactive story actually improved performance. And I'm basing this on a question that came in yesterday from somebody, and I thought it was awesome. And I'm going to discuss it today and give you some ideas and strategies and maybe a little bit of a shift in perspective about what do we mean when we say performance measurement. All right. Okay. So first off, I'm going to bring off my chat here so I can see you guys. All right. And make sure if you guys are visiting from someplace, you better say hello because I love seeing where you guys are visiting from. Okay. So, I've been getting a bunch of questions from people who are interested in interactive stories, who are interested in implementing this strategy, and have probably done a bit of that work themselves, right? Have already said, hey, I love scenarios. I think they're so contextual. I love stories. I see their power. This is great. But one of the things that kind of I struggle with, and I think this is kind of like the burden that we bear as people who work in training and learning and development, is, you know, how do you measure performance in an interactive story? How do you measure how do you prove to somebody that what you did was effective? So before I get into that, let me tell you a little story. So a couple of years back, I was working with this organization, and they were solving some big problems in very difficult contexts. In fact, contexts where people could actually get killed, providing support services in war-ridden areas, things like that, right? And one of the things I was brought in to be just to give advice, be a consultant, look at the current resources that they already had and see how they could tweak them. And one of the things that they had produced this report with all these questions, and they said one of the things they knew they needed to improve to keep staff retention, because their retention and turnover was super high, that people probably, this is assumptions, people didn't feel like they were getting enough training. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I looked at the statistics of this organization, and in a single year, they had lost to death 143 people or something like that in a single year. Imagine if in your organization, a couple thousand people, every year, 143 people die on the job, right? Because you're placed directly in the line of, you know, in war zones, basically. And I was like, okay, I don't think that training is maybe the necessary fix here. Or if it is training, we really got to also look at all the other pieces that contribute to somebody staying at work, which is, do they feel safe? Do they feel like help's going to come when they need it? Do they feel their peers are competent? And training falls into that. But to say that it was going to be this as the silver bullet that was gonna make the difference in retention? Hell nah, right? Like, it's not gonna work. So a lot of us will go in there with these crazy optimistic ideas. We'll set up a formula. We'll say, oh yeah, you know, if with this intervention, I can definitely improve the retention of staff in this organization by 10%. And you think you know what the hell you're doing. There's no way. And the reason is because to be able to actually influence something so nebulous like retention, and I've been there. The reason I'm saying this is because I've actually thought that this was the truth, that I could do this. That, you know, a single intervention in learning is going to somehow get people to feel better about the culture, feel better about their safety, feel better in difficult situations, overcome violence, right? Like, that is not a silver bullet kind of solution, but we do that. And so when things are sourced, you know, I see requests for proposals, this, we're going to fix this, this is with the goal. You have to be very honest with yourself about the reality of what it actually takes for somebody to change their behavior. What does it mean to actually measure performance? And then educate your stakeholders on what is really the truth and how, in order for them to actually see changes, they have to think a little bit more long-term. And I know a lot of organizations, what they do is they allot their yearly budget for training, and it's almost like within a year, they got to see that return or they're going to get, you know, their budget cut or something like that, right? So they're spending it with the hope that they get this instant return on investment on it. While we all know it does not work that way. Nothing works that way. You got to work out for a bunch of months to see anything happen, right? It's like, let's say you jump on YouTube and I go, hey, here's a video on how to do the splits, all right? And then after you watch it, I come back in a week and I'm like, okay, show me your splits. You'd be like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, you watched the video and obviously you're, you know, you're excited about the splits, so show me your splits. And I'd be like, I don't have any splits yet. I'm like, I watched the video and they told me it would take a year to 2 years for me to be actually comfortable doing the splits. And you're like, that's ridiculous. What's the ROI in that video? Obviously zero, right? That's how we think. That's crazy. So one of the things I suggest is when you're, when somebody's saying, hey, you know, what's the performance change we're going to see here? You have to step back and say, hey, you know, when I look at this individual piece, let's say an interactive story, which is what my specialty is. If I look at an interactive story, the goal, the performance change I want to see that's a part of that interactive story is going to be that, and you guys, some of you might be like, no, Anna, no. It's, for me, in some ways, it's a click. But do they go to the next thing? Do they click on the website? Do they go to the LMS to check something out? Do they watch the next video? Do they buy the book on Amazon? Like for me, that is performance change to me. That's behavior change. It's a baby step, but it's a catalyst for other things that are also baby steps, because as we know, performance is not a single thing. It is a journey, right? For me to get good at sales, if I just saw a single simulation and I played with a bunch of customer interactions, there is no way I would be good at sales. No freaking way. I'd have to go out there, test, practice, come back again, do different ways, talk to different customers, practice, do all this other stuff, watch other people. And then in 6 months, I could say, oh yeah, I'm way better than I was when I started here. But we're actually judging this single event on the basis of this entire journey. And that is not possible right now, right? But you can definitely frame this or whatever's here in the context of this entire journey and make sure that the people that were saying, hey, we want to improve their performance, how do we do that over time? And what are the pieces in place to support them through the journey as they gain more competence, as they gain more confidence, as they gain more excitement, as they gain more experience, whatever that is, right? So do not get hung up on here. And I actually say realistic and measurable pieces. So if you're having an interactive story and you say, listen, I know we want to get people to be amazing salespeople, and we've got all these awesome resources. We've got an LMS full of simulations for people to work through for sales. It's amazing, but nobody's going there. They all think they're rock stars, or they're blaming like Joe, who's the number one rock star. And they think that sales is something that people are born with, and extroverts are naturally amazing at it. So everybody else will suck, all those kinds of limiting beliefs, right? So it's all sitting there. So guess what? You got a baseline. The baseline is right now, out of 1,000 people, only 30 regularly go to our simulations, right? So now here's an interactive story intervention, and we show them what it could be like if they just up their skills, and now they're going into this, this new reality where they could be good if they, because the tools are there for them, right? Now for me, the measure of whether this was successful was whether after the interactive story, people go into the LMS and actually check out what's happening and maybe click on the first tutorial and maybe check out the simulation and go through it. That is not, these are not contingent on each other. Like whether they go through the full simulation, that's on the simulation to be compelling and good from the very beginning. If I send people to a terrible resource and it shuts them down right away, that's not the fault of the interactive story. So all of these things need to be tight, exciting, contextual, meaningful, relevant, helpful, all that jazz, right? But if my interactive story gets, like, let's say half of the people that go through it actually go to the LMS and find something useful there, I win. Performance support, 50%, that's awesome. That's awesome, right? Especially considering how jaded and disgusted with e-learning everybody is these days, because they've had such shit experiences, because we wasted their time so much, because we've put things in front of them that are insulting to their intelligence and waste their time. Now imagine if half of them actually not only went through this thing because it was compelling and interesting to them and contextual, but they actually took action. That's awesome. I mean, you're fighting YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever else is out there. That's what you're fighting with. Imagine you get them to take action. Win, right? So you gotta, this is how you gotta frame this to your stakeholders as well. Like you gotta educate them on this, because a lot of them see this as an instant event. It's not a lottery where you have amazing odds. In fact, everything's stacked against you, right? But you're combining two of the most powerful, powerful elements in the world. Storytelling and giving people the power to make decisions, choice, agency. And you're combining that here to grab them in, grab them out of their comfort zone and say, hey, yeah, look at that. Here's some opportunities for you. You're gonna jump in? You gotta build them up to this, right? So, hi Evangelina, hi Praveena, great to have you guys here. Ah, wonderful. All right, so what do you think? Is this interesting? Is this, one of the things that's kind of funny, because I was, I'm reading a book, Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg, again. I was listening recently to Jordan Peterson, and he was talking about how sometimes when you're trying to make a big change for the future, you have to admit that you have to be humble enough to start very, very small and be realistic about what kind of, you know, what it will take to move you forward, right? And sometimes I think we get all grandiose about what we can accomplish, and then when it doesn't work, we beat ourselves up. And it kind of becomes kind of this pattern, right? Instead of stepping back and saying, what really is achievable here? Can I be humble enough and honest enough to say, this is what I'm going for? And be okay with those tiny, tiny metrics, because like I said, and the Tiny Habits guy says, and Jordan Peterson says, BJ Fogg says, tiny things add up. And that's what this is. This is a marathon, right? This isn't a sprint, this is a marathon. And so when I'm gonna see impact, if I stack everything right, I'm gonna see performance change over time, over 6 months. So Aria, you sent me that question. It's an awesome question. I really appreciate it. Hopefully this was helpful to you. Now, if you wanna learn more about interactive stories, this is the place to be, of course. And also the place to be is on elearningsecrets.com, because there I have a 2-hour case study, which I also call a masterclass, because what it does is it not only shows you my journey, how I got here and how I discovered this basically catalyst for change. And it's just a catalyst. It's not the full formula. And I share a bunch of examples in there, but also basically walk you through how this framework works and how you can actually implement it for yourself. If you go through that 2-hour thing, you probably will be able to craft a first draft of an interactive story. Will it be awesome? I don't know. Now, if you want help with that, and a lot of us were trained in classical instructional design, or we're trained in creativity, or we think we know what those things are, but when it comes to mixing the genre, the medium of storytelling, plus mixing scenarios and persuasion, and then wrapping your mind around the fact that all of those things are supposed to, you know, influence somebody into behavior change, those things are kind of outside of that domain, right? So if that's something that you'd like to get coaching on, get feedback on, get really rocking at, then make sure you join our community. And the way to do that is to, first I have to talk to you. So what I'll do is, if you want to put in the comments interested or book a strategy session with me, then you can just go directly to the form, see my calendar. We'll have a chat about what your goals are. And the mix of people that I work with right now, it's we've got people who are either going off on their own and they really want to specialize in something that they feel has impact in the world. It's solving a real problem, right? And so interactive stories are that. And they're using this to actually craft a piece that leads people someplace and is either a portfolio piece for themselves or is a piece that they're developing for their company. And so we have got a mix of people in our community. Now, if this is something you want to get good at and you want to explore, see how it fits, if you have a current project or a project coming up and you're thinking, Anna, maybe this is something that I could really leverage coming up and I could really start. That's one of the best things, right? You have a project and you're applying in real time. And those are some of the best projects. We have this, one of our students, Shirley, what she did is she knew she had this vision for storytelling and she knew that the context, she's creating this compliance training, the context would be good and the scenarios would be good, but she'd never done it before. And so what she did is she basically said, hey, I'm going to invest in this because I know I'm going to be able to use this skill later on, but it's also awesome because I'm applying it on a real project. And as this thing evolves, I'm crafting something awesome with the help of coaches and the group. So that's super cool. So if that sounds awesome and you're ready to jump in, I'll put a link underneath the video to my calendar and you guys can join in. So I hope you have a fabulous rest of the day. I hope this was fun and made you think about things a little bit differently. Maybe gave you a little bit of a perspective on how to, when you're proposing your solution, you realize that it sits between all these other things and are all those other things in place to support you to be successful, right? Are things happening before and after so that your learner is successful and they're supported every step of the way? Because that's how real behavior change happens, right? It's not watching a single YouTube yoga video and becoming a yogi master. It's really over time, you know, painful stretching. Literally, that will get you there, right? So we have to think about that. All right. Evangelina saying, quoting you, show me how you do little things and I'll know how you do the big things. I love that. I didn't know if I said that, but I'll take it. All right. So you guys have a wonderful rest of the day. Take care. Bye.
You're listening to the eLearning Scenario Design Podcast with Anna Sabramowitz.